You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Zoe, the world's first personal voice companion, enabling Star Trek Combadge-like interactions with Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, smart objects, and much, much more. To find out more about Zoe, visit zoe.me/trekfm. That's xowi.me/trekfm. Plus, if you'd like to support our programming personally, visit trek.fm/donate to get our alien badges and art prints featuring original illustration by Tobu Ushi.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I am Charlene, one of your hosts for the evening, and with me, as always, are...
Tristan Riddell and...
Lori Sears.
This week, we are doing an episode revamp, and it's not just an episode, it's two.
Mm-hmm.
Two episodes, Workforce, parts one and two. We did take on a doubleheader, oh my.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been anxious to hear all week what you guys have done to rework Workforce. Because if you were anything like me, you kind of had a tough time doing this thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
And for the people at home who don't quite remember Workforce, because this was an incredibly forgettable episode, the Voyager crew is taken hostage and then has their memories wiped. And they're programmed to be happy-go-lucky workers at an alien power plant. And so they keep their identity, but they don't remember their lives on Voyager, and Kim, the Doctor, and Neelix and Chakotay are left behind trying to find them, and then they eventually rescue them. Thus the episode, and I told you the entire plot in three sentences, and it took two episodes for them to play it out.
Right, which is kind of why it's a skippable episode. You really don't get anything that you have to take with you in Workforce 1 and 2. You just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. I didn't hate it.
Hey, good, good. We need to have varied opinions because I'm going to be a Debbie Downer when it comes to this. So
Debbie Downer.
I cannot wait to hear what Lori has to say.
All right. Well, how about this? Let's kick off with you, Lori, and let's talk about what you liked in the episode, what you would keep, and what you would chuck, and what you would do different.
Okay. Well, I did not mind so much the kidnapping of the crew. I mean, the only thing about that was weird and annoying is you needed them to run a power plant and a bar. Are you serious? Really? I mean, if you're going to have if you're going to have bad guys in an episode, which these people who stole them obviously were, you need some sort of thing to make you go, okay, I feel sorry for these people. I understand why they did what they did. I mean,
oh, I love that. I didn't even think about that, Lori. That's great.
Well, I mean, to their credit, which I'm not going to defend this episode a lot, Tom did work at that power plant, but he only did it for half a day and then got kicked out. And
okay,
then he had to find another job.
A power plant? Really? I mean, automate the thing, for God's sake. What do you need all those people for? You have drugs that can wipe somebody's memory, but you can't make a robot to run a power plant? Really? Come on.
That's so true. That makes a lot of sense. That technological level, you're right. It doesn't necessarily mesh.
Yeah, I thought, okay, really. And what I would have kept also would be the fact that the Doctor got to be the ECH. That was really cool. The fact that he got to be in charge. I probably would have let the crew know each other, at least know who they were, who each other were, instead of being like, oh, who are you? Oh, and you're pregnant. And you're not. Oh, what is going on? And that I don't know. That annoyed me. The fact that they didn't know each other at all. I like the fact that they let Chakotay and Harry and Neelix be the rescuers. But I think what I would have done when they would have showed up to rescue everybody and take them back is to let all the people who are already there convince them that the place where they were was paradise, and it was the place to be, and they had decided to stay instead of traveling on home, and maybe talk them and convince them to stay there too, and then let the doctor be the big hero in the end. I don't know. I kind of like that angle.
Like, I don't know about that, because I think the doctor has a big enough ego as it is.
Oh, come on. He could always use a bigger ego. Come on, really. I think I would have also kept... I like the way they did with Janeway. I like that she was laid back, and you could tell that was totally not in her character at all. I guess they were trying to convince you fully that that was not Janeway, especially... changing her hair totally. Letting her have her own hair. So I would have kept that.
I wasn't the only one who noticed that.
Yeah. I mean, it made me wonder, okay, has she been wearing a wig all this time too? Because holy crap, that looked totally different than her hair. I guess that's just noticing. I don't know. And as much as I have said I hate Jaffin in the past, I would have kept him on, but made him, maybe given him a set instead of acting like... some wimpy wuss the way he acted in the episode. But that's what I would have done. I told you I didn't have a cement idea. Here's the plot. Do this, do this, do this. I just thought these are the things I would change, and that's what I would do to make it a better episode.
Okay, so that would have made it a stronger story, you think?
To me, yes. Okay. In my humble opinion, yes.
Okay, yeah, totally. I mean, there's definitely... so many things you could do with what we were given and just make it better and fill 2 hours much more productively than what we got. Definitely.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah. And I'm totally with you about Jaffin. He is like Mark version 2.0. He's just like, he's a little too laid back. He's a little too quick to buy into all of this. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah, dude, grow a pair. I like the way you put that.
Yeah. And then at the end, too, he's like, okay, we'll buy. Really?
Yeah, come on. Really?
That's how it's going to go out. Just, oh, okay, well, we can't be together anymore. Bye-bye.
Yeah, they pressed the magic reset button on him, and that was it.
Yeah.
He's a simple power plant worker, you know? He doesn't expect much from life, you know?
Apparently
obviously
not.
Yeah, all he cares about is his job and then his newfound promotion toward the end. Well... why don't we get into what I'm going to do? I might as well just spill it. I don't know if this is any good or not. I always second guess myself on these things. But I would definitely change Jaffin. That is one thing I would do. And in fact, I would go so far as to almost do kind of like a role reversal with Chakotay and Jaffin. So this solves a lot of logical problems for me. Here's why. For one thing, Janeway falling in love with someone she doesn't have anybody, you know, no frame of reference at all, so fast, moving in with him, like, what, 2 days in, makes absolutely zero sense to me. The fact that she already has chemistry with Chakotay, and even if in their minds they don't know each other, they're still going to have that chemistry and they're going to gel, and that would make a lot more sense to me that those two got close and fell in love than this other guy. I would do that, and I would make Jaffin kind of like the whistleblower who's the assistant to the main neurosurgeon guy. I would have given that to Jaffin and made that his cause. But then, to make this bigger, what I love about Workforce is that it is a little bit of a social commentary on, you know, just kind of economic times, like when things are booming and you have a labor shortage. Do you cross ethical boundaries to make things happen? And I think, I mean, for me, it makes a parallel with, you know, undocumented workers and immigrants and stuff. So I would actually make it more of an equal, more direct parallel to that. And instead of them doing, you know, okay jobs at a power plant where they're punching in computer consoles, I would have this homeworld be a really educated society. And suddenly, nobody wants to do the menial jobs anymore. And for whatever reason, they don't have the robots either. And so there's nobody who wants to clean things up. There's nobody to do the hazardous work or things like that. So what they decide to do is they kidnap people and retrain their minds so that they're more than happy to do this work. So that nobody else on their native, like the natives, don't have to. And so this is how they do it. And then the thing is, though, is Jaffin is a whistleblower because of some sort of stake he has in this, or he just, yeah, maybe he's got too much of a conscience. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't map out the details of that. But that would have not only given him more to do, but I think that would have just made it even more interesting and relatable to us in our world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would have done that. Plus, I really like Workforce One. I think it has a fairly decent amount of pacing and there's enough going on that's great. Part Two, on the other hand, drags. So what do you do in Part Two? Once everybody starts getting their memories jogged again, guess what? It's not Janeway and Jaffin in the Ready Room. It's Janeway and Chakotay talking about what happened when they weren't themselves. And we finally have it out because my relationship or little heart just would totally take advantage of the situation. I mean, think of it this way. So much of what happens in this story is straight out of fanfic anyway.
Because you see, fanfic there, right?
Because yeah. I mean, this is a lot of what fanfic explores. What would our crew be like in their spare time, or what if they weren't Starfleet officers? Of course, Tom would be behind a bar, and things like that. Of course, and it's great, and I love that. But if you're gonna go for full out fanfiction esque on the screen, just do it and go for broke. So that is my idea, in a nutshell.
Well, I like your idea with making Chakotay Jaffin. I really do, because I feel like that would appease so many people out there, and and they would allow it would Voyager would still be able to have the reset button that they love so much, and
of
then
course.
Go back to normal. It would be like Resolutions Part Two for me with no
yes.
monkey.
Yes,
essentially.
Yeah, only where, they don't know about Voyager.
Yeah, yeah, they don't know about Voyager, but we would still have... Okay, you know that the very last scene where they're back in their uniforms and they... Like, this is at the end of Resolutions, where they're back in the uniforms and they're on the bridge and you just can tell on their faces, it was some marvelous acting, that they're like, okay, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to go right back to the way that we were, and that's it. No more said. And like you said, in your version, it forces them to have that conversation that they never had in Resolutions.
Right. Which they've needed to have for how many years now?
Yeah.
And they just never put it in the final cut. I mean, I know that the writers were trying to go there, but, you know, we've talked about all the backlash against all that. And then the thing is you make the relationshippers happy by finally acknowledging it and giving a little taste of what they've wanted all this time, but... Reset button press, those people who aren't so interested in that, you know it's going to go on business as usual next week. You're making
right.
everybody happy.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that would have been an ingenious move for them.
Right? So why did they not take advantage of this situation? It seems all too obvious to me.
Well, I guess that leaves me, doesn't it?
It does. Spots on you.
All right. Okay, here's the thing. Like, Char, you are much more specific than I'm going to be, and I always appreciate that about you.
Okay, thanks.
With mine, it's just, I just want to trash this whole idea.
And we're all surprised, because we know how much you love this episode.
So basically, when I start out, it's not like, well, this is what I would have done, and this is what I've done differently. I was like, no, like, this is pretty much just Tristan Riddell writes a Star Trek Voyager episode.
In place of workforce.
The first thing that came to my mind after I watched these episodes again, because I always skip these episodes in my rewatch every single time.
Really?
Like, I feel like I watched this when it aired. I watched it once after that, and then that was it. I've only seen these episodes twice.
Oh, wow.
And that's a big deal for us Star Trek fans, only seeing an episode twice.
Yeah.
I had to do, I watched them. I did a lot of research on Memory Alpha just to, you know, make sure I didn't miss anything.
Speaking of which, you know what I love is for Part Two, the synopsis isn't even complete. You can tell when an episode is not that good because they will have that thing prior to any information. This information is incomplete and needs attention.
I was going to bring that up too, but about Episode One, whoever wrote Episode One basically wrote the novelization for Workforce Part One.
But hated Part Two, apparently.
It was obscene how detailed it was. They described the dialogue without actually quoting the dialogue. It was crazy. I don't know how this person did it, but I was like, my goodness, it almost took me 42 minutes to read the synopsis.
So that really should have been a novel. Wow. Okay, take a drink. I'll count it.
The first thing that came to my mind was, I'd love it if Voyager, instead of doing this, did an homage to The Great Escape.
Okay.
And for you younger listeners out there, an homage to Chicken Run. I feel like it would have been really great if the Voyager crew was still captured. Okay, you know, like keep the structure relatively the same. I don't know if you would necessarily need a few people behind, like Chakotay and Neelix and Kim and all them. But yeah, like the majority of the Voyager crew are captured and they're in some sort of gulag or, you know, some sort of work camp. You know, like, is that way you could keep work in the title? So instead of workforce, it's work camp. And it's... You know, like, maybe like, if I could steal something from you, Char, where it's all about how there is a labor shortage, but it's... My social commentary was, everybody's so overly educated in this society, like we are becoming in America, where everybody has 3 doctorates, and no one is a skilled laborer.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, like, what... Like, you know how I always complain about how... In Star Trek, the aliens always say, no, we weren't always monsters. You know, we were artists and philosophers and poets. And I was like, what if the extreme happened? What if a society went to the extreme and all of them were artists and philosophers and poets and there was no such thing as a skilled labor anymore? And then, Laurie, you're saying, you know, what about the robots? What if their engineers fell off to the wayside where they didn't have the engineering capability to develop machines because all the engineers became artists and poets and philosophers and everything's those jobs are always said with such reverence on Star Trek, and like we always see that as the pinnacle of society, and we, you know, if we look at our society today, everybody's underpaid and overly educated, where like I remember I had a hard time looking for work, and I'm not overly educated at all. I only have a bachelor's. I don't have a master's. And, you know, I had so many jobs that I interviewed for where I actually got my foot in the door. And they said, sorry, you know, you have too much experience and you're a flight risk, essentially, is what they said. And I was like, I can't even imagine for people who have more schooling than me. And you hear about it all over the news. People are overeducated and not skilled in any kind of specified labor or anything like that. And I hate that our society looks down on... the mechanics of the world, where they're like, oh, you know, they're just a grease monkey, you know, but like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, who are you going to call when your car breaks down? I mean,
exactly.
this person can take apart a carburetor in a matter of seconds, and you don't even know what a carburetor is. You know, who's the idiot?
Right. Yeah, everybody is talented in some way at some thing, and it takes all of us to make this world work. Let's not forget that. We are all people. And if we consider ourselves below a job, think again.
Exactly. And I'm glad that you put it that way, because this person doesn't have a whole bunch of letters at their after their name doesn't mean that they're a moron. It just means that you have a specialized, you know, degree in one thing, and
right.
So do they, but they just didn't go to, you know, an Ivy League institution to get it. So, anyway, rant over. What if that happened in a society where it went even further than what America's doing right now? And so they're like, oh, crap, we need skilled laborers and we don't have the technology for it. But we do have, you know, really great gates and doors and locks. So we're gonna capture people when we find them. So because we don't want to mop up the floors, we don't want to dispose of radiation. We lost the Malon's number. You know, what are we going to do? And so... They capture the Voyager crew, and like I said, it's this homage to The Great Escape. I mean, they have, like, you know, 20 hours a day, they're forced to do labor. And so, they get together whenever they can, and, you know, like, the bridge crew get together, you know, of course, you know, because that's
naturally
what happens, you know.
Yeah.
The bridge crew gets together, and everybody else is just forgotten. And so, they devise escape plans here and there, and let's throw Jaffin in there. Jaffin's still in there. And, he's like a guard or something like that. And because, you know, you always have to have a guard who just sympathizes with the plight of the prisoners.
Yeah,
and
totally.
So you know, Jaffin sparks a relationship with Janeway, and he becomes their man on the inside.
There you go.
Where, like, he's the one who kind of gives them certain tools that they need to escape, and Jaffin ultimately gets his head lopped off, and I know that escalated quickly, but
no kidding. Wow. We were just talking about him growing a pair. You're talking about him getting his head cut off.
Well, that's how dangerous he became. He's like, man. No, Janeway. And like, he like jumps in front of a phaser beam, and his chest gets ripped open, and then a batleth to the face. And I don't know where a batleth came from, but they found one. And
B'Elanna brought it with her. No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. So Jaffin is basically just torn to shreds in the name of love for Catherine. And that's the reset button is, oh, my new love died. So they try to, you know, you use basic Star Trek ingenuity where like, okay, I'm going to take this tool and turn it into a communicator because I have this silver, you know, prong that I can stick into it. And then that'll boost the amplification fivefold. You know, that kind of business. I love that kind of stuff.
Okay, so you're not going to technobabble it. Because I thought that's where you were going to go with it. I'm like, ah, dude, no, don't technobabble it. But you're going to actually MacGyver it.
I'm going to MacGyver it, exactly. Like, which will involve a little bit of technobabble because you have to. But just a little bit. So they MacGyver their way out of the situation. And then that allows the ECH on Voyager to locate their position. And then, I guess in retrospect, there needs to be a team on Voyager. But we don't see that team until the very end. We don't see their plight. I like it when it's no B plot. It is just focused on them in the gulag and the work camp the entire time. We don't even know if Voyager is still out there. We don't even know, whomever is missing, who's dead. They just assume that the people that aren't in the work camp with them are dead or in another work camp. And then it turns out that Chakotay leads this SWAT team and, you know, like elite force, you know, this Voyager elite force, and comes in, you know, and just like blows everybody away. And, you know, kind of the Deus Ex Machina at the end. And, so I think that, you know, you get a little bit of romance with Jaffin sacrificing himself and falling in love with a prisoner. And so that way you keep that aspect from the episode. And you keep it about work and a shortage of labor, so you keep the theme of the show. But the framing device is completely different. It's much, much edgier, much grittier, much... much more dangerous and
gruesome,
gruesome and more in your face. Not just like we're not really hurting anyone. We're making you happy, and you're doing work for a great wage. It's like, no, we stole your life. You're now a slave. Deal with it. And I feel like that one is a little bit more in your face, and you wouldn't forget it. Unlike Workforce Part 1 and 2.
Yeah, you could go not just from paralleling to our time with illegal workers like I was going for, but just a downright slavery like you're talking about. I mean, you could really bring this home. Oof, that's some heavy stuff.
Yeah. If you wanted to exploit that aspect, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, but you wouldn't forget it.
You wouldn't forget it, yeah. So that's pretty much mine. I mean, and also the I know I didn't really explain how it would be a parallel to The Great Escape, but we've all seen Great Escape, and we all know the little homages and references where, you know, maybe we'd see Janeway and she has a baseball or something that she's, you know, she borrowed it from Sisko and she's bouncing it off the wall when she's in the hot box, you know.
Nice.
Something like that. Like, they dig with spoons in the dirt, you know, whatever.
I like it.
We see Tuvok jump over a fence in his motorcycle. You know, whatever you want. You know, whatever.
Oh, that
you
would
want
be badass.
Happen. Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Better than him making lame jokes.
Right. I did kind of like that in Workforce, though. He's like, see, it's funny because that guy didn't know that you don't have fathers. You know, we all have that friend who explains the joke and then thus it's not funny anymore.
Well, I did appreciate that scene too, because it helped us learn a little thing about Jaffin and his species, like just how, well, when he and Janeway hit the sack, who knows what she was dealing with in there. Let's put it that way.
Who knows? He could bud like that alien in Deep Space Nine.
We have no idea. And I mean, she hadn't, I mean, aside from the holographic boyfriend last season, Janeway hasn't gotten any in a long time.
Yeah, the best that she had was a kiss from that guy who just screams Prax all the time.
Prax!
Prax!
Yeah, that was the closest next best thing, right? Ugh. Poor Janeway. No wonder she was lonely. You know one other thing I would have put into this episode, which was severely lacking, and I'm sure you guys noticed this? With the ECH, once he was activated, we didn't get that beautiful clip of the four pips popping up on his collar.
Yeah, that was lacking.
What happened to that? Especially for a two-parter, this is incredibly mediocre. I think we've said that before. And not every episode's going to be a winner. I totally get that. I think the fact that it is a two-parter makes it more obvious that this is very average. But they had a fairly decent idea. Like, I just really like the whole idea of this planet having such good economic status that they have to get more workers. You can do things with that. But with, like, a lot of things on Voyager, unfortunately, the execution just doesn't quite reach its full potential. All right, well, workforce isn't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM, so here is a little preview of other things that you might or might not have heard on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Orb.
Time travel and alternate realities.
And then you have everybody else on the Defiant that we, you know, obviously don't know very well, but they all have somebody that's going to be affected. And then you think, too, oh, goodness, the whole entire Dominion War would have been affected if they hadn't gone back.
Earl Grey.
Episodes we love to defend.
In the observation lounge, and he accidentally calls him number one, and then they look at each other like, is he going to figure it out? And I'm thinking, what do the Ferengi know? They don't know anything. They're not like, wait, let me look that up. Wait, that means something that Captain Picard calls his first. No, they don't know that.
The Ready Room.
Relics.
In the day, I asked Ron about it, and he said, we just screwed up. I screwed up. Producer screwed up. Mike and Rick. And it wouldn't be Andre then. It would have been Nerain as the science advisor. It's like nobody caught it.
To the journey.
5-episode marathon.
Yeah, with Aisha Tyler and Jeri Ryan, she talked about how when she signed up and actually signed the contract to become Seven of Nine, she'd never seen the show before, but she watched an episode of Star Trek Voyager as she went home that night and was aired. But apparently, it was like the worst episode ever. She literally cried that night because she's like, what on earth did I do? Commentary, Trek Stars.
Ronald D. Moore recap.
So you're saying that you wish Star Trek was BSG?
No.
Say for the record that you wish Star Trek had never existed and that Battlestar Galactica was the thing instead.
Warp 5.
Enterprise Season 1 Blu-rays.
Towards the end of that particular documentary, Brannon expresses that he had been also feeling quite dejected and burnt out at the end of the first season, which makes me wonder, did he really have the energy? Was it kind of only just hanging in there?
Trek News and Views.
Halloween Treks.
Played the murdering crazy person who has psychic visions and can communicate with the ghosts.
It was kind of a similar character to the one on Voyager, right?
No.
No? Okay.
Literary Treks.
Demons of Aaron Darkness.
Well, what's interesting about it is that, you know, Kira, you know, her gods haven't cast her out. You know, her people have. And it's a lot the same way of, you know, Luther and his 95 Theses and being kicked out of the Catholic Church and all of that happening. Because what Kira has brought to her people is kind of a reformation.
And introducing our TOS show, Standard Orbit.
James Tiberius Kirk.
Now, Star Trek IV, I mean, aside from the bookend stuff, I don't really know how much Kirk grows there. It's kind of a standalone story in a lot of ways.
He learns about whales and how it's bad to hunt any animal to extinction.
Which I guess is an important lesson to learn.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check all of those shows out. Get your daily Trek Talk fix. We've got shows coming to you every day now, sometimes more than one every day, on basically any platform that you can think of, iTunes, Stitcher, Windows Phone, you name it. We're on there. Or if you just prefer going to our website, go there. Go to trek.fm/pd for podcast directory, and you'll get links directly from there. So before we go, I have an iTunes review to report. Yay! Woohoo! A new one. It's been a little while. I'm excited. So I would like to give many thanks to Noel Dem for a 5-star review, and also for letting us know that one of our older episodes was actually an episode of The Orb for a short while. And so I'm so glad it's fixed now. And that is that, and we can move on. And if you have not written us an iTunes review, we would love to give you a shout out. So if you leave us a review and 5 stars, we will sing your praises. And hopefully there aren't any more broken links. And one more thing before we wrap up, here is a word from our sponsor.
Zoe, the world's first personal voice companion. You can find out more about this Star Trek combadge-like device and support their Kickstarter campaign by visiting zoe.me/trekfm. That's xowi.me/trekfm. Remember to include the Trek FM portion of the URL, so when you visit, Zoe knows you heard about it here on trek.fm. Also, if you would like to personally support trek.fm, please go to trek.fm/donate. There you can get exclusive themed badges and art prints that we use to thank you for your contribution, and their original illustration by Tobu Ushi. Everything you donate to Trek.fm is used to cover the cost of production, storage, and bandwidth needed to bring you this programming every week.
Tristan, what are we doing next week?
Next week, I am super excited because everybody else should be super excited. We are having our 50th episode of To the Journey next
Whoa!
Week.
Woohoo!
That is right, folks. 50 episodes. 50 episodes. We're giving you free entertainment for 50 episodes. And what we're doing is we're doing a character analysis. Now, you may be asking yourselves, Tristan, how could you be doing a character analysis? You've done all of the main characters. I say, nay, we have forgotten one of the most important major characters, if not the most important major character,
right.
And that is the Voyager herself.
Boom!
How are we going to do that? I guess you're going to have to tune in next week.
So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the journey!